Give the world a smile each day.
Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Grove City, Ohio, right on the southwest side of Columbus. I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Friday to you. And that's RU Fridays around here. RU is the RU Recovery Program. It's a faith-based, Bible-based, Christ-centered addictions program, bringing transformation and help and real life changes to many, many people across the country. And we're glad to have a chapter here at Bible Baptist Church. And if you have anybody that you know that has any stubborn habits or addictions, or someone who just would like to get into an excellent discipleship program, this is the program you want. We meet every Friday night, 7 to 9 p.m., right here at Bible Baptist Church. We invite you out. And then, of course, we look forward to Sunday services, and we'll have our normal services here. Sunday school 9:30 and Bible classes at 9:30, and then 10:30 is the morning service, and then 5:30 Sunday evening. And boy, we'll be closing out the Sunday of June. No more Sundays after this one. Next Sunday, of course, will be July the 3rd, and we'll be moving right into the month of July, and of course, celebrating another birthday for America. But if your Bible's close by, I'd like you to go to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. And in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel." Now, I have to confess something to you. I like goals. I grew up in a very sports-minded home and a very competitive home. And if we're going to play a game, we're going to keep score, and I'm going to do my best to win. If you don't keep score, why in the world are we playing? If two bugs are crawling on the sidewalk, I'm going to root for one of them to win. I like the competition, and I like to set goals. And we have goals in the Christian life. By the way, what's the goal? To be like Christ. To be like Christ. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. One of my goals is to be faithful unto death. I want that crown of life. The Lord says, or Paul wrote, I think, in Corinthians about, "Know ye not that you when you run in a race, that you all run, but only one gets the prize? Therefore run that ye may obtain." Run for the prize. Now, say, what's that about, preacher? Well, God gave Israel a goal. They'd been in Egypt for 400 years. And he brought them out, as you know, with a great stretched out arm. You know, they were in bondage in Egypt, and God called it the iron furnace. And he says, I've got a land for you. It's the promised land. And you're going to not be in bondage anymore. You're not going to be having to make brick anymore. You're not going to be oppressed anymore. You're not going to be slaves anymore. And by the plagues, and eventually by the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost and the death angel, he delivers them out of Egypt. And he leads them through the wilderness. First the Red Sea, and then he drowns the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. And then he fed them with manna every morning and quail in the evening. And he led them by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And they came right to the edge of the promised land, a place called Kadesh Barnea. And then they sent 12 in to spy it out. They didn't just say, God has promised it, we're trusting him, let's take it. They didn't do that. And when they came back, you remember, and that's right in chapter 13, right before where we read today, in Numbers 13, and that is, no, we can't take it. The giants are there. We're like in our own sight as grasshoppers, and in their sight as grasshoppers, and they're giants. And he said, so no, we can't go up and take it. And then that's where we started reading in verse 1 today of chapter 14. The people are crying and weeping and murmuring. All that was a result of their unbelief. All that was a result of their unwillingness to just believe God. And now they're talking about it's better return to Egypt. Let's get a captain and let's return to Egypt. Listen, they lost sight of their goal. They lost sight of the land that flows with milk and honey. They lost sight that is pleasant to the eyes. They lost sight that God can meet all of our needs. Why would they go back to Egypt? Why would they want to return there? I'll tell you why. Even though it was rough, even though they were slaves, even though they were oppressed, even though we're in bondage, you know what? It was familiar to them. They knew what that was like. Even though it was slavery, they knew what slavery was like. Even though it was oppressive, they knew what oppression was like. What they didn't know was fighting battles and winning them was like. What they didn't know was walking by faith and trusting God was like. They were afraid of an unknown future where they would totally have to trust God. They were afraid of a future where they would walk by faith and not by sight. You see, the Christian walk can be somewhat of a scary thing. And so that's why, by the way, that's why some people turn back. Why? They don't. It's not that they want the old ways or they want the old habits, but it's familiar to them. At least they know what they're dealing with. And God would say, let go and trust me. I'll help you. And he gives us the Spirit of God to help us. And he leads us on to a new life. And that's what God desires for us. Listen, over in Numbers chapter 11, the children of Israel had got tired of the manna. And in verse 4, it says, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? And they go on to say, we remember the fish when we were in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Wow. Here they are complaining. They thought the old food of Egypt was pretty good. In other words, they wanted their physical appetites satisfied. Well, God sent them their request. He sent them quails to eat. But I want to remind you, those folks never saw the promised land. Oh, they got what they wanted now, but they lost the goal later. They got what they wanted now, but they lost what God wanted for them later. Abraham and Lot, you know the story. They have the fight between the herdman of Lot and herdman of Abraham, and he says, okay, Lot, make your choice. And Lot looked, and he saw the well-watered plain. He said, boy, that looks good. Looks good for me, looks good for business, looks good for, I've heard Sodom has a great school system. They have a wonderful social life. And as he packs up and he goes away from Abraham that day and looks over the desert parched area where Abraham has to go, and he thought, man, I won. But I wonder as God looks down, and we could see it now. And by the way, we have the advantage of knowing the rest of the story. And we would say, Lot, you didn't win, you lost. Sodom's going to be destroyed with fire and brimstone. Oh, he got what he wanted now, but he lost the ultimate goal later. He never achieved what God wanted him to have. Esau comes in and he thinks he's dying of hunger, so he sells his birthright for a bowl of pottage, a bowl of soup. Again, wanting to satisfy physical appetites. He got what he wanted, but he lost the birthright. He lost the goal. The firstborn would be the leader. The firstborn would be the priest of the family. But Esau will never realize that. He lost the goal. He lost the goal. Is it now or is it later? Gehazi goes after Naaman and said, oh, my master changed his mind. He'll take the money and he'll take the new suit of clothes. And as Gehazi goes back and he thinks, well, I got what I wanted now. I got what I wanted. But he lost the ultimate goal, didn't he? And he became a leper. He became a leper. Abraham left all for Canaan, even willing to sacrifice Isaac if necessary, the dearest thing to him. And the Bible says Abraham was called the friend of God. Oh, he didn't take what he wanted now, and he got the goal that God wanted him to have later. He didn't just take the now. He looked for the long look, and he took what God would have for him later. Moses. The Bible says about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, that means it looked good. But Moses says it may look like fun, but I'm not going to do it. It may look like I'm missing out now, but I'm not going to do it. You know why? I'm in it for the long haul. I'm in it for the long look. I'm not just looking at whether I want it now. I want to know if it will cause me to give up what God wants me to have later. I'm saying, let's take the long look, not the short look. Let's take the eternal look, not the time look. Let's take the far look, not the near look. Let's take the spiritual look, not the physical look. Don't let immediate things keep you and cause you from attaining the ultimate goal. I guess what I'm saying is, live for eternity, not for time. If you just live for time, you'll lose eternity. What's your goal? Hey, Dad, what's your goal as a father? Mom, what's your goal as a mother? Sunday school teacher, what's your goal as a Sunday school teacher? Children's church worker, what's your goal as a children's church worker? Hey, preacher, what's your goal as a preacher and a pastor? Don't let fleshly desires for now keep you from the ultimate goal. You say, well, preacher, what's the ultimate goal? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's the ultimate goal, is to hear that well done from the Lord Jesus. My friend, don't let now and don't let your flesh stand in the way of salvation. Don't let that stand in the way of eternity. Oh, my friend, the goal is heaven. The goal is to have eternal life. The goal is not to die and suffer and be tormented in hell. Don't let your flesh stand in the way. I don't need to be saved. Well, then why did God send a Savior? No, God sent a Savior because that's what we needed. We need to be saved. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. And don't let your desire for now cause you to miss what God would want you to have later. And that is heaven and an eternal home with Him. The Bible says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, receive Him. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's only one way to get eternal life, and that's in Jesus Christ. Have you received Him as your Savior? I pray you do it. Don't get so focused on now, you miss the later. Now or later? What are you living for? And I'll contend, if you'll put first what God puts first, God gives you a pretty enjoyable now as well. All right? Well, I hope that had been a help to you, and I hope if you receive Christ as your Savior, if you bow in your head and pray and call upon the Lord, let us know about it, will you? Drop me an email, pastor@bbcgrovecity.com, or call us here at the church, 614-875-2190. We'd love to rejoice with you and get you some information to get you started right in your Christian life. All right? Well, I hope you have a wonderful Friday. I'll see some of you at the RU meeting this evening. And others of you, I'll look for you in the services on Sunday. And then the rest of us, we'll come back for our broadcast on Monday. And I think we'll spend a little time about a question that was asked to Jesus. What hast thou done? What hast thou done? Well, until then, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service, and on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. We also host the RU Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people in our community. We meet every Friday at 7 o'clock in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.